Today, we open ourselves up to you, Lord, and to your word. Just quicken our hearts, our minds, Lord, that we may be able to receive everything that you have in store for us. Lord, that today we may hear you clearly and to appropriate everything that you have done, that you have given us, that you, Lord, want us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we have been looking at the times we are in and try to understand what's happening in this messy world we are in. It's getting worse and worse. And that doesn't need to be, you need to be a prophet to figure that out. You know, I mean, it's really getting worse. And the point that we had to realize is that most of the people, although they see these things happening, they just don't even do much about it. They do not prepare themselves for what is going to be required. There is a tendency in many believers that, it's okay, God is going to take care of everything. When instead, it's not that way. God is going to take care of things, but we have a part we play. See, if we make foolish decisions, God is not going to fix all our foolish decisions. We are going to take the consequences of our decisions. You know, if you jump off a roof and you expect God to fix you up, well, I may even heal you, but there's going to be a lot of work there, and you're going to be a real serious fixing. When the world situation is going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, if you like it to hear it or not, if we have done the things that we need to do, we are going to be in a much better place. We are going to be in an area of protection from God, and we are going to have the power to deal with whatever situation is we are going to be facing. Two weeks ago, I shared about the parable of the 10 virgins. That tells a story that gives us a warning that Jesus gave us concerning the time we are in. And the idea, the key idea there, is the importance of understanding the role of the Holy Spirit in dealing with the time we are in. You see, the church cannot be weak and cope with the situation that is going to be around in the future. Believers cannot just say everything is going to be okay because it's not going to be okay. And only by the power of the Holy Spirit we are going to be able to remain in victory. And not be affected like everybody else. Now, you know, you can be one of those five virgins that were virgins, you know, and they had the lamp too. But that wasn't good enough for them to get in. See, were only the one that their lamp was filled with the oil, which is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, that enabled them to cope with the situation and be ready for the coming of the bridegroom. So, this would be the only place in which Jesus, or in which the Bible says about that, say, well, you know, you can make a theology out of one scripture or out of one parable. The thing is, all over the place, the concept is repeated over and over again. When Jesus left, said, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come upon you, then you're going to be able to do whatever needs to be done. You see, Jesus did not leave us orphaned the way he said. He sent us the Holy Spirit to enable us to cope with whatever things come around. He has given us the weapons and the ability to do that through the Holy Spirit. Now, this was not just something new, because that was announced long time before. God had this plan all along. In fact, I promised. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. And why is this promise? So that we can get goosebumps and we can get excited? No, it's because we need the power of God to cope with the situations that we are going to be facing. Not only to cope, but if we are going to be spirit-filled, we are going to come out victorious. We are going to be the upper end. We are not going to be pushed around. We are going to have the power of God to deal with things, and we need not to fear. Amen. The problem is many people say, oh, it's okay, but their lamp is empty. They may even read the word of God, but they don't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit even to understand it, and they think that is enough. That is not enough. And so God has planned this from the beginning. And so one of the most important things that we had to do to be ready for what is coming is to make sure that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God inside us operating. And we are not going according to our own ideas and our own thinking, but we go according to the power of God manifested in us. That our faith, the way Paul says, is not based on the reasoning and the philosophy of man, but being based on the power of God. The power of God doesn't need to be, making stories or whatever. God's power is bigger than what we can do physically. But what we do spiritually is important, because that's where we connect with that power. We can be quiet, and God's power flows through us to produce the results. It's not the physical. It's not in the physical that is the power. But it's in the spirit that is the power. And in our spirit that connects with the Spirit of God, understanding the role, the importance, the impact that our heart have in this process is critical. And there is not much thought about the heart in these days. People don't know how to operate at the heart level. And most of the stuff is done on the physical level. Well, mental and physical level have no power. The power of God comes from the heart. The heart is our contact point in which take place between our spirit and our body. Now, I'm going to really spend some time on dealing with this. See, the important to understand that God has given us the tools and the weapons to deal with the coming time. We don't need to be afraid. We should be excited that the time is coming when finally there's going to be the manifestation of God's children to a fuller extent than has ever been before. And it's already happening today. Not in the big masses, but it's happening. And it's happening not because somebody has organized, but because the Holy Spirit brings about to people that are open to the Spirit of God. See, God has given the tools, has given the Holy Spirit to empower us, has given the gifts of the Holy Spirit to work through us, and has given the fivefold ministry that is anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring the church to the place in which can receive or can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and in the power of God. Now, you know, in Matthew chapter 24, before the parable of the 10 virgins. Verse 3 says, "And he sat," Jesus, "sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciple came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no man lead you astray. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall lead many astray. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. For these things must need to come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise up against nations, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and earthquakes in divers places. But all these things are the beginning of the travail." Now, if you look at what's happening today, you would say that more than ever, there's been conflict raising up everywhere. Call it the nature is behaving stranger than ever, you know, and call it climate change or call it the way you want to call it, but doesn't matter. The point is things are happening in the physical that are a manifestation of this taking place. And for us, we are not going to know exactly the time, but we know that we are close, that we are closer than we ever been. And because we are close, we had to really do what God said, what Jesus said that we should do concerning what is taking place. We cannot just ignore what's happening. You see, this is the time of Pentecost came, and the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, the 120 there. You know, Peter gave that speech in which really brought back out the prophecy by Joel about the end time, announcing these things. Again, so this is not just there is one prophecy. I mean, there are many, many, many prophecies pointing out to all the same thing and connecting this with the falling of the Holy Spirit and connecting them with the power of God coming on earth to help the people that are his people. It wouldn't be for us, I mean, for the people of God, probably nothing would be left over. But we could are an element of preservation. See, we are the salt of the earth. And because of us, God put in place things because of us, because of our faith, because of the power that he gives us. Things are going to happen in a certain way that is going to both protect us and establish his kingdom at the end of the story. Now, you see, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is clear, you know. Number one, let me go back a moment. One of the things that the Bible says, the people are not going to be ready for what happens. the same chapter of Matthew that I was reading before. And I'm going to go to the Bible here in a moment. Okay. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 36. It says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day of Noah, that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them away. So it will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, see, this is another warning. Okay? Why God give us the warnings? Well, so that we can be ready. And he also give us the information that we need to know what we have to do. And what we have to do is having our lamp filled. The lamp, as I explained before, you know, your word is a lamp unto my feet. So the lamp is nothing else than the word of God. But you know, you have the word of God and you don't understand it, doesn't do you any good. It's when the Holy Spirit reveals to you the word of God that the word of God becomes effective, because you know the meaning and you have the understanding to be able to put it to work for you. So this is the key. One of the elements or the reason why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, Peter was preaching. It says, now then they heard this. They were talking about the prophecy about Joel. And they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent, ye have been baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this was a short thing. I mean, it was quickly saying. But the important thing that he's saying to us here, the one that I want to emphasize and to focus on, is the fact of, you know, many Christians have repented, and they've even been baptized, but have they received the Holy Spirit in the fullness that they need to receive it? Now, there is a problem with our English here. Because if you go to the Greek, the word there, receive the Holy Spirit, the word that's used is lambano. Lambano doesn't mean that you are there and God is going to give you the Holy Spirit. And this is why many people do not come to the experience that they should come about receiving the Holy Spirit. You see, lambano means to grasp, to take hold, to take possession, and as an aspect of violence almost in it. As an aspect of you really grab on to that and you take it. Or take him. See, people think that they are there, they pray, they do nothing, and they get the Holy Spirit. And that's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says that we had to take hold of the Holy Spirit ourselves to be able to receive it, to be able to appropriate it. It's an appropriation that needs to take place. Are you following me? Now, if you read in any case, and we are going to read scripture so that, you know, I want to clarify this idea because that's critical for the ability of people to connect with the Holy Spirit. See, they think, you know, well, I said the sinner's prayer, I got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, well, hello. There is more there than just that. Some people said the sinner's prayer and they still feel guilty. Well, evidently, they don't understand how to pray the sinner's prayer. If they still feel guilty, you know, they don't have not received forgiveness. Hello? Well, if you haven't received forgiveness, how do you think, why should you think that you have received the Holy Spirit? You see, in the Bible there are very clear indication, very clear demonstration, very clear verses concerning this, explaining to us so that we can understand and be able to connect and to be able to receive everything that God has for us. Now, if we go according to our own ideas, then we can develop all the our theology and everything else, or we can go through the, according to the Word of God and try to understand what it says, and then from there, apply to ourselves, apply our faith to get what God wants to give us. If you don't know that God wants to forgive your sins, you can be there begging God all the time and you're never going to get it. You're going to go around feeling guilty all the time. Well, my Bible says that now, therefore, there is no condemnation. I mean, if you connect with God and you receive that, there is no condemnation. You're not going to feel guilty anymore. When you do something wrong, you know that you did something wrong. You say, Lord, sorry, you know, I missed it here. But you see, on the same thing, you know, you don't go to God because of all the good things you have done, because that way you're just an hypocrite. You see, it's not because of the good things that we do that we have access to the Father. It's by simply believing that what Jesus did is enough that enables us to do the things that we are called to do. Otherwise, we are never going to succeed. See, we have to understand the role that faith has in receiving the things that God wants to give us. God does nothing without faith. Anything that God does it always through our faith. People expect God to do things, and they don't want to exercise their faith. They don't get what they expected they should be getting, and then they get mad with God because they didn't do the things that they expected to do, and they want God to do the things that are their way instead of really themselves accepting and doing the things that God wants to do His way. You know, getting mad with God is stupid. Because it certainly is not going to get you anywhere. You know, if you get mad with me, you're not going to get anywhere with me. Because I'm not going to be influenced by your being mad. I'm going to do the things that I believe are right to do. Hello? I learned to do that a long time ago. You know, I remember when there was a situation in which you had to do things that are not too pleasant when you are a minister, you know? And I have problems. And God told me, you know, if you do it, fine, otherwise get out. You know, we had to stand for the truth. Even if nobody likes you for that. You see, that's what was with Jesus. Jesus taught the 42, that's what the apostles did, and many people just didn't like them. Well, he said, you know, if they hate me, they will hate you. We are not in a popularity contest when we work for God. The only thing that we have to make sure that we please is Him. And there is only one way to please God. By faith. Believing that He is and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So, the faith is so important. Because God gives us nothing but by faith. Sometimes we don't even see it. Because we don't understand what's going on inside us. But that's the only way that God works. But when we start understanding, instead of hit and miss, we can start operating the way God wants to operate, and we can get reproducible results. See, God is not a capricious God. God does not change. He's always the same. So don't try to change God. See, we try to change everybody. You know, when people get married and try to change their wife or their husband because, there are no things that they don't like about them. Or your kids or your parents and everything. You know, it doesn't work with people. Why do you think it's going to work with God? You know, he's the one that probably is the most stable of everybody because he does not change. So better try to figure out the way he thinks and line up with his way of thinking if we want to get anywhere with him. Would you agree with that? So that's the way for us to get some places. Now, one of the things that he said to us is that we need the Holy Spirit to be able to live a Christian life the way he planned it for us. To have success. To be able to do the things that he wants us to do. To be able to minister to anybody else. You try to do it in your own thinking and you are wasting your time. Because it just, the power is not there. See, but even then, even Jesus, when he was trying to minister to people, they had to get them to exercise their faith. And yet to minister to them before. What your faith does enables you to communicate that faith to them. And your job as a minister is to lift up their faith so that they can receive. They must receive. Sorry, I'm dried up. Only physically. Are you following me? The idea is that God works in us, each one of us. First John says that the greater one is in us. That means, and we have victory over the world. What does it mean to have victory over the world? Well, everything that is around physically, we have victory over. We have victory over the temptation of the enemy because that's what the enemy tries to do to us. We have victory over our situation, over the attacks of the enemies that work through people. We have victory over sickness and disease if we are open to receive and to exercise our faith. And if we connect to the one inside us, because he is the one that heals us. is greater than these physical things. It's greater than the things are opposing us or trying to do anything. It's greater than the time when we are going to be facing opposition because we are God's children and not of the world. This is why we have to be ready. Now, you know, if it would be that easy, everybody would do it. The point is, you see, our faith is to the degree that we can have it. We have to realize the level of our faith, where our faith is. And, you know, you want to see, you want to measure your faith? It's very easy. Look at your life. Look at the results you have. Now I say, oh, well, this is, you know, I have some things I really don't like about myself. Forget about that. Don't start judging yourself because you don't have the faith that you want today. The only thing you have to do is to understand how can you lift your faith up. And doesn't happen by begging God to make you more, to give you more faith. Because God has given you already all the faith that you need. That's what says in Romans chapter 12. He has given to each one a measure of faith that we need. See, actually, He built us up. He hardwired us to have faith. The point is, often we use faith in the wrong direction. Because we make faith a religious name or a religious thing, when instead faith has nothing to do with religion. It's the way we work. It's our belief system. When we believe the things that God says, and we really believe the things that God says, then we get the things that God says we should get. People in the world are successful because they have faith to be successful. And they are not even believers. And they do better sometimes than many believers because they have all the messed up theology that they don't understand the way they work. And they go according to tradition of religion that is powerless and that makes a Christianity a faith that doesn't get anywhere. That makes us weak instead of strong. They give us defeat instead of victory. I never saw Jesus once. Capital 8, before when he was attacked in any places. He always got the victory. And, you know, even when they were trying to throw him down or stone him or throw him down, you know, he was always just able to. He just walked through like nothing. You know, you need to be able to do that in the future. And you can do that when you got the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the only way we're going to be able to make it. That's what I'm telling you. So, and we had to learn to exercise our faith starting from where we are at. It's no use to say, I should be something that I'm not. You know, the only thing you can be is what you are today. But if you know what to do, you are called to do the right thing so that you are going to be something more tomorrow. If you give up before you even start, you are never going to get there. So, look at the way you operate spiritually. If you go to God, ask for forgiveness, and you cannot get forgiveness, you have some job to do starting from there, because that's the place where you start. This is where you have to understand that when you're repented about things, God has forgiven you. And you had to appropriate. You see, that word comes back. Lambano, receive forgiveness. To be able to say, okay. See, but when you receive forgiveness, you got have an experience. You had to realize what you have been able to do. You know, that's the problem with all the teaching about grace that doesn't make much sense. You know, grace is something, you know, God give you, you feel forgiveness because God's grace. No. You feel forgiveness because you believe that God has given it to you. And because you believe it, you appropriate what God has done for you already because you are forgiven already. You, everybody's forgiven in theory. The very moment when you start believing that God means what he says, you're going to experience what God says you should experience. Now, you know, if you cannot even do that, you know, the next step is receive the Holy Spirit. See, you can say, I prayed, I received the Holy Spirit. Show it to me. I mean, if you receive the Holy Spirit, there has to be some evidence. The Bible gives you very clearly what the evidence should be. But it's not just one thing. There are many things. But generally, there is a consequence of appropriating that. And I can tell you my own personal experience about that. Well, maybe not today. Because we finished the time. Am I? Right? Yeah. See, almost 2 years after I was saved, in 1972... As I was sharing last time I preached, it was 2 weeks ago, I was reading this book about the late great planet Earth by Al Lindsey. He's a Baptist preacher, and that was a bestseller in those days. And I was anything that was that to do with Christianity, I was reading in those days. And I got interested, and I thought the topic interesting. The thing is, the guy was criticizing these people that were speaking in tongues because he was a Baptist. I mean, they have their theology, okay? And really, that got me interested. They said, oh, that sounds interesting. Let's see what's more about that. And so I end up getting another book that by John, what's his name? Just let me see. John Sherrill. He wrote lots of books. And the title of the book was They Speak in Other Tongues. That was a bestseller, was published in 1964, and now in 2004, it's been 40 years, they were republished again. I was a bestseller too. And he explained all his experience about that. And his experience, you know, he got cancer, and a friend explained it to about the Holy Spirit. Anyway, the story is, still alive. And, what at least when he published after 40 years, he was still alive. So he evidently was healed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was telling lots of stories about that. Things that I found interesting, they were corresponding to exactly what the book of Acts says. But they weren't at the time of the book of Acts, were of today. People that would go to places and speak in tongues and be understood by people that knew their language. when they didn't know their language. Well, happened at least twice here in this church. You know, we were praising in tongues, and people from once from northern India, another time from northern Alberta or something like that, I think. They understood, you know, one was in Indian dialect of the northern, close to what's the name? Can't remember the city there. But anyway, the other one here, it was an Indian from Canada, and they could understand that we were praising the Lord in their own language. Now, you know, when you never seen anything like that, never heard anything like that, that gets you interested. So I was saved about 2 years before, and I was reading this book, and just as I was reading the book, I felt the Lord telling me, well, you know, if they can do it, you can do it too. You're born again. And at that moment, I had the choice to say yes or no. I prayed to receive the Holy Spirit, and at that moment, I had the opportunity to really believe I got it or I didn't get it. And while I was going through this process, my wife was taking a bath. And she was reading the same book, but not in the bath, evidently. She was reading while we were reading. And suddenly I hear this music coming out of the bath, you know, singing. But wasn't singing, you know, she had a good voice, but wasn't her usual voice. She was, I don't know how many octaves higher that I ever heard the singing. Okay, their voice was just limitless. And she was singing in Latin, of all languages. And I studied 8 years of Latin when I was growing up in Italy. So I could understand many of the words that she was saying. Not everything, but enough. So, well, what do you think? I mean, that was the final step for me to start doing it. So, I wasn't doing it in Latin. I was doing it in whatever language the Lord had given me. But it wasn't very difficult when you see something like that happening in front of your eyes and in front of your ears. You know, how difficult is it to believe God for anything? You see, this is one of the things that makes a difference about the Holy Spirit. When you see the Holy Spirit doing things, there are two reactions you can have. The reaction that you get upset with, you know, this is nonsense, or, wow, this is God's power. You open up. No, I like it to have. So when I get dried up, I can have a sip. So, you know, that the bottom line is that afternoon of the spring in 1974, both of us, the same time, started speaking in tongues and praising the Lord in the language. Now, that was just the beginning. I mean, the Lord had done already things with supernatural things with me, and you had visions already and everything else. But, you know, that was the final thing that brought me to a place that I wasn't before. And my faith went up until some other people messed it up. But that's fine. You know, but this is what happens. You know, people around you influence you and sometimes produce doubt in you. I never lost the Holy Spirit or anything. It's just that some things I just became much more cautious. And took me longer to get there where God wanted me to be. But praise the Lord, God got the victory. And with that, today I close because it's time to close. So what I'm saying to you is, I'm going to be showing you what the scriptures say about the Holy Spirit. What the scriptures say of what we have to do to receive the Holy Spirit. There are specific instructions. But in a way, I already told you, you see, there is a decision you make that you believe you have it. See, this is what happens with everything with God. You have to believe that He has forgiven you because He said that you are forgiven. You have to believe that He has filled you with the Holy Spirit because He said that He wants to give you the Holy Spirit. You have to believe that the healing is yours. Because He said, I am the Lord that healeth you. And when you take those steps, you see, there are those moments within yourself in which your heart opens up to a reality that hasn't been there up to that moment. And one moment and another, you are a new creature. And that's a big miracle. One moment from another, you are healed. And maybe not fully manifested, but the thing is happening. But, you know, it happens every Sunday here, you know, fully manifested. In that moment, you start experiencing the power of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit start manifesting in your life. They were manifested before. And with that, we close for today. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Let's pray that we may understand the part we play in allowing God to do what He wants to do with us. We thank You, Father, praise You, magnify Your name, and give You glory and honor. For all we know, that You have a plan for each one of us. That we have victory in every area of our life as we let You guide us in our decisions, in the step we take. As we let You show us the way. And we just give You all the honor and the glory, Lord. I pray that as we go through this step, if there is anyone that hasn't been able to fully receive the Holy Spirit with the full manifestation by the end that we finish this series, they may get it. And we give You honor and glory to You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.